This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Hey, Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? Steve-O, Rich, how you guys doing?
Awesome.
I'll let the positive guy speak for me. No, it's a great day in Cowboy Land, isn't it?
It is.
Every day is a great day in Cowboy Land.
That was a big win from us. We really beat a good team that was four or five games into it. They were winning. Tampa Bay, I still say that they're still going to make a statement in the playoffs. That's the type of team they are. And the Cowboys showed up, and they took care of business, man. It got a little sticky there, but just like we called it, it was going to be a tight game. We knew that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at those things, and, you know, it got off to a great start, and all of a sudden we thought we were going to roll. And next thing you know, if you don't get three, four scores out in front, and these guys, if you don't get touchdowns and you're kicking field goals, then all of a sudden it's a little bit of an issue because they're only a score or two away. And we saw them take the lead and showed our resolve and came back and took over and dominated from there.
Hey, Rich, I got to ask you. We had Bailey that missed, a 52 and a 56.
Yep.
Are you seeing some bad trend here, or are you thinking that maybe this was just, you know, a fluke and they were long kicks?
Yeah, I think the long kicks, and you know, I hate to say anything's a fluke there, but, you know, he's human too, and he proves that. But his percentage is still, if I'm not mistaken, the highest in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And 52 and 56, those aren't chip shots. But as Steve-O just said, we've got to make sure we're putting the ball in the end zone. You can't trade field goals for touchdowns because you go down the field twice, you got a good sustained drive, but the defense holds you to three, and they do that two plays in a row, and then your defense gives up a touchdown. Well, even though you've controlled and dominated the game, now you're losing the game 7-6. So we got to put the ball in the end zone 100%. But to answer your question, I don't think it's any concern. I think the concern that we all had was Dak Prescott, and I think he put a lot of those concerns to bed.
You're right.
Just
you're
to
right.
touch
what,
on
what
Bailey.
What about that, Bailey?
Just
on
to
you.
Touch on Bailey. You've had a couple of misses recently, but all of them have been right down the middle. All right?
No, that's a great point.
So I'm not real concerned. When you start seeing stuff go sideways, it's much like your golf game, all right?
Right.
You start
that ugly
the ball slice and
right.
the ball's
hooking. Because I got the sausage fingers.
You
go
got
on.
The sausage fingers.
Right, yeah.
But, no, for this guy, it's – I think that 56-yarder that he missed was probably a little bit outside of his range, but all of a sudden, or I guess it was maybe the 52, probably a little bit outside of his – where he
no,
was, but I think
range,
he just
though. That's his range.
Too high. What was that? The Cleveland Indians
too high.
Major League. Too high. What do you mean too high?
It's gone.
The trajectory. Yeah, it's a little bit of an issue there.
Yeah, I think it's the way he kicked it. But Steve made a great point on that. Is they were both missed going right down the pipe. So you know what? I'll take my chance with Bailey over any kicker in the NFL.
Hey, so we got a couple things coming up today. We're trying to get Maylene Smith on with us. Mm-hmm. She wanted to come on after we did the Facebook Live, which was another huge, huge success. Where if you guys don't know, if you're not participating with us, but we come into the studio on these primetime games. You guys are going to do it again Monday night for the Monday night game, correct?
Yeah, Monday night. You're not going to be there.
I'm going to be in Dallas at the game.
Right. How
so
cool
I'll,
is that, guys?
Yeah, so I'll be calling in as the fan to, you know, maybe I'll get some airtime in here instead of Chris. Chris calls all the time. Chris Sweat out there.
Well,
so
we definitely need Chris
was,
now,
he was
too,
awesome.
Because we're going to be short one
but,
guy.
But so we get on. We got big 70-inch TVs in here. We get to watch the game. We can't hear it, but we can watch, and we can kind of – we talk amongst ourselves and talk amongst all of the people that are following along on Facebook Live. And it's just like if you're sitting around and you're not, you know, you got nobody around, you want to talk to somebody, well, we're just your computer box away.
Right.
You know,
right.
To cool be able to participate. That? So pretty awesome. But anyway, Maylene Smith was on with us during the game. She wants to come on. We got Colleen coming on. We got big news from Colleen. She got a new grandson. So we got a new Cowboys fan and Cowboy Nation out there.
Nice. Another daughter, like on our site.
Her daughter held off, refused. And she'll tell the story. Refused to go into labor during the Cowboys game. Went the next day. Beautiful baby boy. So
wasn't ready to hike that thing out.
Yeah. So right now, I think the fan poll is the baby's name going to be Steve-O or Jono?
I'll get out of here.
We'll ask. We'll find out.
I say go with Ed Jones.
Ed Jones.
Ed too tall.
Yeah, that's what Rich would done. I mean, he's got a.
He's got Emmett and he's Austin. Austin got traded, so you don't really bring up Austin too much, do you?
Well, no.
Well,
he was named before that, Austin.
Oh, okay. Right.
Austin was created in Austin, Texas, yeah. So that's where that came from.
So we got a lot of great things to get to. We got
now Rob may be on our show Monday.
Rob Dobb, our blogger, most likely. If got to convince him still a little bit more, and the weather has to hold where we are not in.
It's going to be 60 degrees on Sunday.
No. Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. That's what I heard.
I thought there was weather moving
I'm not
in.
The weather guy.
Hey, producer, Brian, didn't you hear
it's
look
one
it
of
up
those days. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We'll get one of those. But, yeah, he's going to pull it up there here on the computer so we can
we had
see
sleet
it.
And ice last week and then, Midwest weather here.
So a lot of stuff. We got Randy Gregory back. We got Dak Prescott putting, a final nail in the controversy talk. We got to get to Ezekiel Elliott and the Red Kettle.
Red Kettle, yeah.
And did he – they didn't find him, but did he volunteer to make a donation of $21,000 or something like that, or did they come out with a new fine because Odell Beckham and Le'Veon Bell and all these jackasses out there with other teams were, if it was me – here's the deal. Here's the deal, Odell Beckham. Quit running your goddamn mouth and flapping your trap all the time, and you probably wouldn't get fined if you were just a player like Ezekiel Elliott. Score your touchdown, hand the ball to the referee, and go about your business. But you want to be Mr. Showboat, and you want to wear your shoes and everything out there.
Sausage fingers.
But guess what? So you bring attention to yourself like that, you're probably going to get a fine because it's about me. But when you're part of America's team,
team.
And you jump into the Red Kettle, and you do it good for all mankind, guess what? You're probably not going to get fined. Exactly.
Boy, guess who I'm having on my next show?
Absolutely.
Kicking live.
You got me fired up. I'm taking off my shirt right now.
It's on.
Yeah.
Moving into the octagon right here, right now.
Hey, but you know what? I got to say this, though. If you get look at that picture, if you guys study that kettle, it looks padded around the sides. I mean,
so if you guys don't know, I think I've posted something on Facebook or maybe it was on Twitter or something like that where I retweeted. But there's also, if you guys remember, several years ago where T.O. caught a long touchdown pass and ran over to the Red Kettle and made a deposit. So there's a great little, what do they call those, memes or something out there?
Memes 60 degrees, 52, 60 and 52 on Sunday.
What's Monday?
And on Monday it's going to be 51 and 24 at night.
There's the weather forecast by Jono there.
Yeah.
Well, not really. Brian pulled it up.
I'm just saying the way you read it off there.
So anyway, the bottom line is T.O. has a big touchdown, drops the football in the Red Kettle, and then the next thing is Zeke coming out of the Red Kettle. You know, when he ducked down, he came out. It's a great little – I think they call those memes. I'm not on that technology
that was
term
well
stuff.
Set up. And I'm glad it was a whole festive night, you might say, and this didn't backfire on us and we lost.
Right.
And we would have all jumped in that damn kettle. But in any case, there's been a couple injuries on the defensive line too, by the way, sir. I mean, you're bringing that up. We lost DeMarcus Lawrence and Cedric Thornton. They both sat out on practice again. So I don't know how much that's going to affect us. And then on top of that, I'm hearing that we had Tyrone Crawford, one of my favorite players. Yeah. He hasn't been going too well, too. He had a groin injury.
Well, the good thing is we got an extra day this week, right, because we're playing the Monday night
football,
game.
Right.
And we have Colleen down there.
How do you get yourself back together from a groin injury?
Well, you know, a little icy hot.
Yeah. Right? That feels good. Yeah, it really does.
Soaking cider, something like that. But
Rub some dirt on it. Get back in there.
Exactly. But Colleen's going to give us the breakdown of all of our injuries and everything and tell if we need to be concerned as fans on what to watch for the Monday night game, which is another huge game because we need a win or a Giants loss over the next two.
Hey, I want to ask you guys this, a hypothetical question. All right. We win this game, which we are going to win this game. Now, for the last game, which doesn't mean anything. You guys are nodding your head. You know where I'm going with
absolutely.
This. Absolutely. Doesn't mean a damn thing, Steve-O. Can we see our glorious commander-in-chief, our general that took us so many years, have this one game to himself?
Well, I don't know if you're going to see it to him. If we have the East and we have home field advantage throughout.
You will. If you beat Detroit, which we will.
Yeah, we will.
Then we will have home field advantage throughout.
Okay.
So does that mean?
No, you're going to see him probably in the second half. They're going to treat it as like a game number one or two of the preseason, where I think – because remember, they have a bye week. So you don't want Dak with two weeks off.
All right,
you don't want him with 2 weeks off. Right. But I think what you do at that point is I think you let him play a half, hopefully have some good sustained drives, and then I would love to see Romo – still in there with what we call the first team, and I would love to see him play and see how he is.
Yeah,
I'm with you there. And then you know, get as much rest as you can for the other guys, simply because
now with Elliott though, I think it's a different deal because he needs 256 yards to break Dickerson's record of rookie of the year or rookie a season rushing record. And I really think that 256 is very doable for him. As soon as he gets to 256. In the next two games, I would say, hey, come on out now. You don't need anything more than this.
Well, and I keep thinking back to several years ago, the Cowboys needed the win against the Giants in the Meadowlands, and Emmitt Smith dislocated his shoulder in the first half, but ended up touching the ball 40 more times outside of that because they had to have that
win. The Giants.
Remember that game?
I remember, man. His arm was dangling
down. They had
dangling
it all taped
down
up.
In New York. It was so damn cold that day.
It was, and it was in the first half he got tackled, nearly touched the ball maybe 15 times prior to that. Uh-huh. He went on to touch 45, 50 touches, you know, catches out of the backfield and running because they needed that win for home field advantage. So Emmitt battled through the pain.
You remember that. That's beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful.
The reason for bringing that, well, the, what kind of warrior Emmitt Smith is, and a team player, but the reason for bringing that up is how crucial this game is against the Lions. We don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we have to maybe, you know, one of our, maybe he's, hopefully not, is banged up, but we don't want to count all our cards on one game in order to have home field advantage, especially when we got two games to do it. So we go out, we're going to make a statement against the Lions here, wrap this thing up, get Zeke his yards, and, you know, get Dak in there a little bit. But then we got to shut some guys down, let them rest a little bit. So, I know they're going to rusty, but I'm saying let's talk
conspiracy football, okay? Because there are, if you watch any of the pundits around the country and what's going on ESPN and NFL Network, everybody's talking about how does XYZ team get into the playoffs. Yeah. Well, you have the Green Bay Packers that are playing super, super hot football right now.
You guys got it going today. I see where this is going as well.
Okay, and you have a Lions team I think that we're all comfortable with being able to handle, right? Do you want to see Green Bay in the playoffs? Do you want to face Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs if they're really rolling, or do you want to see
– no, the hell that.
I know what you're going to say, John, obviously.
Home field advantage. I'll take anybody at home. You know, we don't have to go to Lambeau and play. Like, absolutely not.
But it's worth a conversation that if you lose to Detroit and you beat the Eagles, that hurts Green Bay's chances of getting in, which I'm not that we can't handle Green Bay because we have up in their territory. But obviously, as a fan, you look at – you know, what Detroit's doing, you're like, okay, well, I'm not so scared of them, but I'm more scared of Aaron Rodgers being hot.
Yeah, well, I see both sides. My thing is, if you condition yourself to give less and you start losing, that leads to a trend of losing. You keep your foot on the gas, you put your foot on their throat.
Exactly.
And you bury them. You win. You don't count on anybody else. And, you know, too many times you hear that, especially this time of year. Well, if this team loses, then we'll get in. Well, then you're backing into the playoffs. And anything can happen once you're in
Yeah. All you got to do is get to the dance.
Get to the dance. Anything can happen. But I'm a big believer in motivation and positive thought and compounding wins as opposed to hoping for losses.
On top of that, Rich, how many times throughout Cowboy history, the last 10 years, have you seen us come down to the last goddamn game of the schedule?
The Eagles?
And it's come down to where we've lost it. The hell with that. I'm not buying anything into that. We take care of business this week against Detroit. Detroit, I'm saying, is very vulnerable. That was, you know what? All the props to New York Giants defense. Those G-men have been playing out of their ass on defense. They shut us down.
Yes, they did.
And they shut down Detroit. And I'm saying to you right now, we're going to need our A game on defense. I think this new guy, I'm in love with him. David Irving, to me, is the, like I put on our site, a new star is born, and I really do mean that. This guy is an intimidating machine. I love him out there. He closes in. He's tall. He's got everything going. He's a specimen, man.
Absolutely. And
he's I got to get him on our show.
You got
I got to get him on our
show.
Well,
he's a spark that the defensive line has been missing, without a doubt. He's created a fire there.
Yeah, and we have, like I said, Randy Gregory coming back to practice today, and we're going to find out more about him and what to expect. But I'm hearing he, on the Twitter feed out there, he looked like a beast in practice today.
Irving?
So chomping at the bit to get after it. No, Randy Gregory.
Gregory.
So I he had a 14-game
put him on
suspension.
One side
and Irving on the other.
So all of a sudden, man, you start looking at it and you start feeling good. And believe me, folks, I usually sit down and do the podcast. Today I'm standing up. I'm a little fired up on things.
That a boy.
He just gave a great speech. If you missed that, rewind it.
Absolutely. But so you look at things.
You got to stand up till you broke the chair.
Oh, come on. We're getting healthy. Yeah. If all the pieces start coming together and you stay healthy, and that's the big – everybody else, we talked about it on the show last week – you know, you get Earl Thomas that went down for Seattle. You had JPP go down for the Giants, even though they still beat us. You get
that
some injuries.
That defense hasn't been affected, though.
I think
we're going to have to cross hairs again. I just see us tangoing with the Giants. Well, Giants are the only NFC team that I'm really worried about. Honest to God, I don't, forget Seattle. Seattle, to me, I just don't see their running game. They don't have much there. I just don't see them holding up the par here. It's going to come down to the NFC East. I really think that whoever wins the NFC East all out
is going
throughout the playoffs is going to do it all and take on the Patriots or the Raiders. I that's what I'm seeing here. I see four teams, the Cowboys, Giants, Raiders, New England.
Okay, I can buy that. You know, obviously there's –
they're all trending. They're all trending upward.
Absolutely. So it's going to be interesting to see. A lot happens in what we call the 15th game of the week, but week 16 in the NFL, you start getting a lot clearer picture. And then there's going to be a handful of meaningful games, you know, next week. But, hey, did you guys – and I didn't pay too much attention to this until it was just brought up. I play a fantasy football game.
Rodney has entered the building.
But all the games are on Saturday this week.
Saturday games,
and there's two Sundays. So we had a Thursday night game, which is tonight, okay? And then we're going to play the full schedule on Saturday because Sunday's Christmas, and then two games on Sunday, which I believe will be the primetime games, and then a Monday night game, which is odd. Like I said, I spent 17 years, take your shot, with the Rams, never had a Christmas Day game, and I can't remember them ever moving, you know, a Sunday Christmas Day game up to Saturday. But maybe, you know, I'm old and, you know, senile now, too.
Well,
you guys remember that?
I don't remember that ever happening.
I think a lot right
I
now.
I think about it, but no.
I don't know if you got any input on this, Rodney, but I'm looking at this as this year's been a little weird because they're really hurting on the audience. And they're
ratings.
Trying to switch things around as much as they can. They know that Christmas people are going to be out and they're not going to be watching ball games, or they may be into watching Home Alone five times the entire
story.
Night, and they're not going to want to see that. But I understand that. But the NFL has switched things around completely. And who's been saving the NFL this year?
The Cowboys.
Our star.
Right. The boys.
The Dallas Cowboys have been saving their ass the entire year.
So I heard a great take from Max Kellerman of ESPN on how to really make the Thursday impactful is move it to an 18-week schedule, give every team two bye weeks, and then the bye weeks are surrounded by your Thursday night game, so you wouldn't be playing on short rest, and every Thursday night would have like one Thursday, the first Thursday night would be the NFC East would play NFC East. So you'd have those two, you'd have two games.
Oh, interdivision battles.
Interdivision battle. And then the next week would be the AFC West. They would each play. So you would have Kansas City versus Oakland, and you would have San Diego versus Denver. You know, so now all of a sudden, instead of having Tampa versus Seattle on a Thursday night game, a meaningless Thursday night
game. What are you talking about? There you go. Now I'm going to have that guy chiming in again. How the hell do you say Tampa Bay and Seattle's not? We're talking Jacksonville against Cleveland. That should not be. Those type of games.
That's a better analogy. I think Steve-O's defense, he's just picking random teams. Yeah,
you can't pick that random team. Okay, all right. Then I got this guy that will be trolling us again and saying,
Jacksonville and Cleveland. We'll stay with them.
Yeah, so Jacksonville-Cleveland game on a Thursday night.
There you go.
Who's going to tune in for that?
People don't want to tune in. So there's Max Kellerman came up with a great plan that I would support. If I was president, I would probably put it into place along with the Monday after Super Bowl being President's Day, national holiday. So I think I can adopt what Max Kellerman's saying and put it on my political platform.
I think you got a great shot. I'd definitely vote for you.
I know you
would. If you remember back in the day, they used to have six preseason games.
Yeah.
And then the NFL Players Association said that was too many with all the injuries and everything else. And if you bump up and go to 18-game season.
Who the hell wants six preseason?
That's the way it used to
be. No, it's 18 weeks. So two by still only 16 games.
I see.
16 games.
I missed that part.
But you would have two byes in there.
Because that was going to lead into my next point about all the records and everything else.
I don't want two byes either. What the hell are you talking about? I want to see my team. If I don't see the Cowboys more than one week, I get kind of jumpy
with that. Although the Super Bowl will be, February or March, late February, early March, backing it up. But no, you know what? I missed that point. So those at home that were lost as I was, still 16-week schedule. But no, back in the day, General, they used to have six preseason games. Believe that or not.
That's too long. Yeah,
yeah, that's not going
to. I just wanted to chime in on the Thursday night games. I mean, outside of when the Cowboys have played, I've been not overly interested in a lot of those Thursday night games.
Yeah. Right?
So
I have, you know, because I play the bookie too.
Well,
so
you got your other day job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal, guys. We're at before Jono gets all pissed off about people trolling us on Facebook and Twitter and everything.
I got damage control on the Facebook. I know.
We're going to move to our fan of the week. It's Maylene and her husband Jeffrey Smith. They're out in Oklahoma. They run a couple of big fan pages out there, so we're going to get them on. Hey, Maylene, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and how are you?
We are awesome. So we have Jono here and myself, Steve-O.
Hi, Maylene.
Hi, Jono. Hi, Steve-O.
We have what I call him. I call Big Rodney because he's
our
big.
Our posse.
And then I call Big Rich because he's small, but he's tough. So we got Big Rodney and Big Rich in here, too. So it's a full house, and then Brian's over
how
on the
How are we doing
board.
There, Maylene? It's Rich Grogan. Good stuff.
Yes, sounds good.
Perfect.
I'm ready.
And you have and your husband's with you, Jeff, and he runs a fan group, right?
Yes. Me and my husband both. We both have Dallas Cowboy groups. I have Maylene Smith's Dallas Cowboys, number one team in the world.
Nice.
It's going strong. I have several thousand, and usually get about 100 to 200 a day, and it's gone viral, and I'm excited, and it's the Cowboys. I've been going there to their games ever since. Oh, my goodness, way back. I know Emmitt Smith, Randy White. I can go back to Too Tall Jones, Drew Pearson, Hollywood Henderson, Raphael Septien, Roger Staubach, of course.
So, hey, who was your favorite defensive player back then? Doomsday defense.
My favorite I have to stick with is DeMarcus Ware. He ain't way, way back then, but I'm telling you, the guy is good.
Well, yeah.
He was an animal.
He was an animal, and he was there on the plays, just like, you know, we have Sean Lee now that runs the defense. He's on every play.
Yeah.
And I had to get rid of DeMarcus Ware, but it's time to get some youngers like Sean Lee and get our team back in a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm wanting to do.
We're looking to do that too. So the area code that I called, if I'm familiar with it, it's an Oklahoma area code, right?
Yes, it is.
A lot of Cowboy fans there.
Are you in Oklahoma or are you down in Dallas?
No, I was born there in Texas and worked right there at Tony Roma's off Beltline and used to go to the games, take the pictures, do recordings, and now we came back. I live here at Eufaula, Oklahoma. That's right by Quinton, Oklahoma, and we still drive back and forth. It's about 3.5-4 hour drive from here to Dallas, you know.
A lot of love there, so, Maylene, for the Cowboys?
Oh, my goodness, you can't imagine the love for the Cowboys.
Oh, God bless
Oklahoma them. Is strictly Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God bless.
Awesome. Now, see, I kind of relate that. See, we're up in the St. Louis market, and we really don't have a whole lot of college football following up here, right, just because, you know, the closest Division I football teams to us are going to be either in Mizzou, which is about 2.5 hours away, or University of Illinois, which is about 2.5 hours away. So this is like a pro football town here. I would imagine Oklahoma, you know, with you not having really a football team around, from the pro team,
right.
But you have the big college following, right?
You betcha. OU Sooners, which we have OSU too, but
no,
I'm an OU Sooner. But, I'm sorry, I went to college there, have to have them, but
no,
Dallas is number one.
Nice. Yeah, what's with those guys, Maylene, what's with those guys at Oklahoma with the paddles that run around the sidelines there? They got those red paddles?
They just like to slap them and make a lot of noise.
Oh, really?
We just like to get everything going and cheer on.
That's great. You got to slap things around down there.
You betcha. They're a good, you know, team, and but they're in the NFL. I like pro football. Yeah. It's my favorite. I always has been.
And did you?
I'm keeping it.
Did you and Jeff meet as Cowboy fans somewhere, or how'd that work out?
Well, now we got a story going.
All right.
Okay, he met me here, and we've been married for several years. I've grown kids, and I'm a Dallas fan, and I meet my husband, and he liked Brett Favre.
Oh, no. What the hell's going on there, Jeff?
Yeah.
You stayed with him?
There you go. He had a leather jacket there, Brett Favre's, too, and it had to go.
It had to go.
So, it had to go.
Did you give him an ultimatum, either Favre or you? Is that how?
It was like,
right.
Maylene, or take the gasoline in your car and get out.
Maylene, or go
where
visit
it was
Brett.
I went all the way to Dallas to get my Dallas Cowboy tattoos. I like them. I'm going to get another one.
Oh, my.
I got my husband one. But, yeah, it had to be me and the Cowboys or nothing. And now he's been a loyal fan for 16 years of the Dallas Cowboys.
Or he's been scared of you for 16 years.
Does he sleep
That's
with...
That's the way it is. You, that
a girl.
You got that right.
Jeff probably sleeps with one eye open, right?
No, he's a Cowboy
Every
fan
night.
Now.
Yeah, he's a Cowboy fan now, so
let's get him. Let's get him on the air here. Let's talk to him a little bit.
Okay. All right. And y'all keep in with my group. It's excellent group, Dallas Cowboys, 24 hours a day, day and night. And thank you so much. And here's my husband, Jeffrey Smith.
Thanks,
Maylene.
Take
care, Maylene.
Thank you.
Hey, what do you know?
Hey, we heard you're a convert. You're a convert here, huh?
Converter.
Well,
you're a cheesehead, now a Cowboy.
That's good.
Well, how this went down actually was when I was a kid, I was raised in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and Orange and Beaumont down there, you know, Galveston and Port Arthur area. So I followed Ole Miss and I followed LSU, you know, I was a big Brett Favre fan forever, you know, and it's just the way it happens, you know. I took love over the Packers. Well, you know, Brett Favre ain't going to play ball forever.
Yeah, yeah.
A smart man there, realizing, yeah.
Well, like I always say, Jeff, love should have brought your ass home last night. So
and it did. And it did, you know.
Brought him home to Texas.
It was a good trade. Yeah. It was a good trade.
Perfect. Now, you run. You have a Facebook fan club out there as well, right?
I do, but I can assure you of this. It is minimal compared to my wife's, Maylene. It's minimal.
Well, I think we brought this up on when we were doing our podcast live with the Facebook Live thing on, during the game, that our women followers, we have one Colleen Case. You've probably heard us talk about her, and Maylene. I mean, they run just ginormous. I don't know if it's just because they're better at organizations than us, or they're just better overall Cowboy fans. But
well, I am my wife's primary administrator, and I keep a close eye on what happens in her group as well as she does. And it's a job. It is. You know, we got to keep it clean.
You got to keep those trolls off of there, those Eagles fans and the Giants fans, and you know all these
well,
people that want to get
out. Yeah, that's a sore subject because we can get some idiots in there, I mean, you know, that can really kind of ruffle your feathers. But if you keep a cool tool and lay it on them, they go away.
Keep a cool tool and lay it on them.
I love it.
Borrow that
You know, you brought up OU. Yeah, we're kind of OU fans. I mean, my wife is for sure. And, you know, I like Bob Stoops and everything. We got an issue going on with one of his players. He knocked his girl out over in some restaurant.
Well,
it's been all over the news.
Yeah, you got a couple of fraternity houses down there saying some vulgar things, and they get kicked off of out of school, expelled, and then you got a guy knocking somebody out, and they give him a one game suspension or something like that, or bring him back in. It's something's going on. Stoops has got to get some control, or the president of the college does for sure.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Bob Stoops. However, in order to be an excellent coach, you have to be in touch with your players. And your players have to have some type of respect for themselves as well as others around them. And if they don't have that, it shows in the community, and that's about all I can really say. You know, you got to spend some time with these kids. I don't know what Bob's been really doing the last couple of years, but it's been an issue.
Well, I think the key term there, and Rich Grogan here runs a podcast, you know, Kicking Life Guru, but the key thing is these guys use is plausible deniability, right?
Absolutely.
That all of a sudden, and you're seeing it with Rick Pitino in with basketball, where, well, I didn't know that was going on. Well, guess what? Where's the buck going to stop? And it has to stop at the head coach.
You know what, Steve-O? I think it goes back to Jerry Jones when he left. I'm sorry, not Jerry. Jimmy Johnson when he left and Barry Switzer came in. Exact same thing happened, you know. And we've seen all the footage and the films of that transition. They had the winning team. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl. But Barry Switzer said, hey, you're grown men. I'm just going to leave you alone, which was the worst thing he could do for Michael Irvin and Eric Williams and all the other guys. They just ran free where Jimmy Johnson wouldn't put up with that stuff. And then, you know, I saw several interviews with Troy Aikman, and he talked about how he really, really had a difficult time with Switzer's way of coaching because he was pretty much telling Troy Aikman, hey, you're the one supposed to reel these guys in. And Troy's like, what the heck? You're the coach. You've got to do it. And
exactly.
That sounds like what's
Bob's
going on there.
Bob's responsible for everything that happens to those players on the field as well as off the field that they want to play. And if Bob has his coaching staff deal with all of his players and he's not there half the time, that's on Bob.
Yeah. The buck stops at the top, like you said. If organization or anything else is going wrong, you know, it's not the key or it's not the components. It's who's at the top, who's turning the cogs.
Exactly.
Hey, what was your best matchup as a Green Bay Packer taking on a Cowboy? Mine was seeing Reggie Williams taking on Eric Williams. That was a pay-per-view.
Reggie White.
Yep.
Taking
you
on the Eric Williams.
I have to agree. I'm on board with that.
That was a pay-per-view event, man. Those two hook up.
It really was.
It seemed like Eric Williams, man, he made it happen, though. He came up on top all the time on that
one. He could have been so
you
much
know,
more.
You know what was, you know what was sad, been. Though? I'll tell you, the saddest thing I ever saw was when Green Bay handed old John over there in Denver his first Super Bowl ring.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I got to ask you, too, Jeff. You used to be a Brett Favre fan. How did you like when Favre gave that sack to Strahan, that record breaking sack. Yeah. I mean, did his offensive line produce so much blocking that day just to keep him out so he doesn't get that record? And the very last 2-3 plays of the game, he gives that sack to Strahan. I mean, come on, man, you had to lose a little bit of love right there. I'll tell you.
Well, it definitely gave Strahan a feather in his cap because that made him famous over the top. That was a sack heard around the world.
Yeah, I think that gap between his teeth, you could park a semi-truck in, made him famous, but he's used it the right way.
Yes, he has.
You get spit. I heard he can spit 50 feet.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, hey, Jeff, we won't keep you long, but what we want from our fans, from our fan of the week, is I got to have your call. We got Detroit Lions on Monday night in Dallas, another primetime game. I need to know what the score is going to be from you and Maylene. We get them written down here, and
we see
and take it from there.
Who's closer?
Well, I tell you what. Well, I'm going to confer with my wife, May. Give us the score, honey.
I already have mine. Dallas will be 26. The sorry-ass Lions are going to be 17.
All right.
26,
all right.
Maylene. Jeff, what do you got?
26-17 there.
Well, I got to be honest with you.
Jeff, we're going to kick you off the train if you go that way. If we hear there, off the bandwagon.
I'm gonna go with May on that one. That's pretty close call. I mean, you know, if Stafford plays a decent game, he really looked terrible last week. His defense was kind of, you know, but then, you know, we'll see what happens.
Jeff, you're going with the same score?
I'm gonna go the same score. You betcha.
Oh my God, that all is right. Real love there.
Hey, that's love brought you home. That's for sure.
Yeah, Sean Lee's my man. He's gonna take care of business.
We hope so. We hope so.
Well, hey, go ahead.
Here's the thing about Detroit now. There's some hard-hitting thugs on that defense.
They can play. Can play for sure. They feel like they owe us something after that pass interference a couple years ago that was never called.
Right.
But the referees called it the week after in Green Bay.
Exactly. Hey, Jeff, give a shout-out to how do our fans out there, I mean, we get about, 2,500 downloads.
We get a lot more, yeah.
A ton of downloads, a couple of likes on the Facebook page. So tell us again how they get to be members of your guys' fan Facebook page out there.
Hey, all they got to do is get on Facebook and pull up Maylene Smith's number one team, Dallas Cowboys, and boom, it's on there. And mine is Killer Cowboy Confidential. It'll pop right up, not a problem. I'll add, you know, members. I don't have a problem with that. I want to give a shout-out to all the fans of the Dallas Cowboys. We love y'all. Hang tight. We're going to the Super Bowl this year, boys.
You got that right.
I love it. Well, you folks have a wonderful holiday.
One last thing, I'd like for you guys to chime in on our show. We're going to still have it Monday night. Steve-O's going down to Texas. He's going to be watching the Dallas game live down there, and we're still going to be set up. If you guys want to call in or just watch our show, you're more than welcome.
I wouldn't miss it.
We're all over that. Yeah, we're all over. Hey, if you happen to see Jerry, would you tell him I said hello and we love him?
Will do, for sure.
And don't talk about your Rams at all?
No, I won't talk about the Rams. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you did not.
No, he's over it. He's over it.
Well, God bless you folks. And
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we'll see you real soon, hopefully at the Super Bowl.
Merry Christmas, Phil. Happy New Year.
Yep.
Happy
Christmas.
Cowboys kicking ass.
That a girl.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys. I'm telling you guys. Man,
I love them.
Awesome.
I love them.
Can you believe it? I mean, husband and wife.
Why
group?
Can't they adopt me? I'd be down there. I end up with a chihuahua dog.
Hey,
I can't convert a chihuahua dog.
Can you believe that? Hey, here it is, bud.
Yeah.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Or take your ass on the road.
I should have asked. Because, my wife's a Cowboy or a Packers fan. I should have asked for the secret recipe on how to get that switched over.
Well, you see how she's got them.
Yeah.
Jeff's contained right there.
Right, yeah, that's women control. You guys know that.
Yeah, I don't think Rodney can.
So are you saying I don't have a chance?
I don't think you have the working organs.
I'm going to show you a picture of when the last time the Cowboys were here in St. Louis, and my wife was wearing a Dallas Cowboy shirt. So don't say it's not possible.
Okay. Well, I think that's a strong commitment there. He grew up being an LSU fan, following Brett Favre. So of course he followed him to Green Bay. And to give all that up, we made the right choice. And he said the exact same thing. Look, Favre's not going to play football forever. I'm going to be married to this gal forever. So,
yeah,
smart.
And he even goes with the same score. God bless him.
Dedicated. Well, she was sitting right there.
Yeah.
She probably had a fork in one hand or something. Was like, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to stab you in your jugular. So,
oh, Jesus.
That's unbelievable. But no, great.
Far voodoo doll out.
Hey, exactly. Hey guys, I'm going to have you guys continue with the show. I got a roll here. I want to give a shout out Monday our show, big show, and Sunday we got Christmas. I want you guys to be having a great Christmas and Happy New Year. And on top of that, we'll see you guys next Monday. I got to roll. You guys take over, okay?
We'll do, Jono. You have a Merry Christmas, right, buddy. We'll
hey,
see
have
you.
A safe trip down there, pal.
Okay, we'll talk on Monday from the game.
We'll see you Monday.
Merry Christmas, Jono.
So Jono's going to leave, so we got the triumvirate in here. And
hey,
we're
and
about
find out about Rob Dobb if he's going.
Yeah, leave. We'll find out. I'll let you know.
You guys take care.
So we'll get Colleen on here in a little bit. But going back to the Detroit game, Stafford, he comes from behind. So the concern for me is, once again, if we're not going to push that ball into the end zone, and then we have a tendency when we do get up to play that soft defense, and these guys are able to come back, and that's, you know, he's got, what, 9 fourth quarter comebacks or every game they won every week except for I think last week or 2 weeks ago they've gone into the fourth quarter behind. So, you know, captain comeback, whatever you want to call Stafford, and he's playing well without Calvin Johnson on the team. That's my big concern, is I don't want to get into a situation where we're controlling the ball and we're marching down the field and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's fourth and goal from the 6, field goal. You know, oh, here's a bad penalty again, which we got our asses handed to us on penalties. We had, what, over 10 penalties last week?
It was like over 100 yards.
Weeks in a row.
Real close to 100 yards total, yeah.
Right. Yep. So all of a sudden, you know, you get in a second and goal, and there's that damn holding penalty or illegal hands to the face, and now you're back, you know, to 20-yard line, and then –
third and goal from the 20. Exactly.
It's another field goal and another field goal, and then all of a sudden your defense at the end of the half or third quarter, fourth quarter starts playing that soft zone, not pressing the receivers, which their receiving core isn't that impressive. Okay? And they've, much like the Giants, they've all but abandoned that. You know, the run game hasn't been real good. So, you know, all of a sudden you start playing soft and Stafford comes down and it's a quick score. Now, all of a sudden, 2 quick scores, you got a punt in there or a turnover, and it's a tie ball game.
And what we've talked about before, you cannot swap field goals for touchdowns. You know, and those sustained drives, you have to finish in the end zone. You have to finish in the end zone. But it's also that conditioned behavior. It's like anything else. You start coasting, it's hard as heck to get those engines running again. So it's 60 minutes. I mean, come on. Balls to the wall.
The one 60. Thing that we didn't do last week that we have to stay away from this week is – Steve already touched on the point. We have to get touchdowns, right? When they're available, we have to get those touchdowns. And what we do well is play from ahead. And what Detroit does well has been playing from behind. But what we didn't do last week was take Tampa out of that game. We let them back in the game in the second half, where if we do that again, where Detroit has the ball less than one score or within one score, that's where Detroit has had their success all year.
Yep.
So we have to get the 2-score game late in the fourth quarter.
Well, 2 scores and then control the clock. Just run the ball, pick up crucial first downs, eliminate the holding calls, like Steve-O said, and put the ball in the end zone. Of course, that's the game plan every week, but we really need to emphasize on that. And then we cannot get soft in the secondary. That drives me nuts. You know, you're holding back and giving up the plays underneath. Well, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, they're marching down the field. Next thing you know, like you said, Steve-O, bang, there's a strike. They're in the end zone in 5 plays. We got to shut that stuff down.
Right, and that's the crappy part of that game, that even if you do control the ball and you have the everything in hand, that Stafford is a type of quarterback that can have a quick strike. And I know there's all of them out there, whether it's Eli to Odell that goes for 60-some-odd yards, or the last week where
Green Bay,
Carr tipped that pass. Yeah, Green Bay over the top for 47 to Jordy. I mean – everybody has that ability. Most everybody. I think Jacksonville's hurting a little bit right now, and Cleveland. But
and to be fair to Marinelli and the defense, I think he knows our limitations. Right? We have to be careful not to get beat deep on those quick scores, to where that's why it's a lot of that bend but don't break, make them chew up clock. You know, so what it comes down to is that balance. When is it going to be appropriate to press and put a little bit more pressure on them, and when is it appropriate to let them dump it off? So, and that's easy for us to sit here and say, but the balance is going to be key this week.
Sure. If we can continue to apply pressure to the quarterback, We did a pretty good job with that last week.
If we can do that with our front four,
absolutely.
Well, that would be huge.
Irving and who's the other kid that
we're getting Randy Gregory back. So we're going to find out from the professor here in a couple of minutes. She's going to give us a breakdown, our Dallas Cowboy insider. I call her the professor because she's like all-knowing. I mean, if you want some knowledge, she's got it. So,
I guess my point on Gregory and Irvin there, if they can contain – or the ends, they can get some pressure, that's going to force those tackles outside. They're going to bring in the tight ends, which is going to open up the A and B gaps there. You get Sean Lee and the other linebackers coming, have a little safety blitz. But put some pressure on there because those gaps are going to be open if they're trying to contain the ends. And I think that's going to be huge, really, because Stafford
– absolutely.
Yeah, he'll hurt you. But you put pressure on him just like any other quarterback.
And he's a quarterback that can throw and on the move
and
under
pressure.
And under pressure. And he's not scared to stay in the pocket. And he's got all the throws.
He's got all the throws. Remember, sidearm, underneath, backwards, whatever the else. Because, I mean, was he a pitcher?
Left-handed.
Like everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a story. Him and Clayton Kershaw went to high school together.
Right. I knew I heard
and
that.
And you talk about
what the heck? What kind of team is that?
They should have won 22 state championships up there with those guys. Wow, that's unbelievable.
Can you imagine that coach? Can you imagine being that coach?
Can you imagine their facilities now if they've if they've tapped into these guys' pocketbooks and said, hey, how about a little bit of something for the
support,
program?
Support the team.
So that's awesome. But we're going to get Colleen on the phone, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Cowboys getting healthy here, and then we'll start getting our scores on. Colleen, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, what the world wants to know, what Cowboy Nation wants to know, is a big congratulations to you. You got a new grandson, right?
Right.
Okay.
Awesome.
Now, did you go with Jono or Steve-O for the name?
We
or Ed Too Tall
David
Jones?
O.
What was it, Ed Too Tall Jones?
With David.
Oh, David.
David O.
Oh, boy. We were in the running, though, right? Steve-O was in the running?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, so I get a text from you on Monday afternoon, and it says we have a brand-new baby boy, 6.12 pounds, 20 and a half inches, and that your daughter refused to go into labor during Sunday night football. Tell us about it.
She watched that entire game. She said, I am not having this baby. I am watching the Cowboys. Every time I don't watch, we lose. So I have to watch or we're going to lose. And she said, I'll cross my legs, stand on my head if I have to, but this baby is not being born tonight. It will wait until tomorrow morning.
Dedication. I love it.
And I'm sure David has a Facebook page already. He's followed the Cowboys podcast, and he's followed. Are you going to let him into your group, She Loves the Cowboys?
Oh, no. He can't come in the group.
Wow.
Standing firm.
But and I will send you a picture of this, but he already has his Dallas Cowboys helmet, his padded pants, and his jersey.
What jersey number did we go with?
Well, he has to start out with zeros.
Okay.
All right. And every birthday he gets like a one, a two, like on his way up.
There you go.
I like it.
There you go.
Grow into
it. I love it.
Grow into it.
We might have to do that. We might have to go through the best of the Cowboys on what jersey numbers they wore, you know. So
we'll start with the Ring of Honor there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Raphael
Septien. He already has a Dez and a Witten jersey waiting for him, but he has to grow just a little bit for that.
Just a little bit. Is that a hand-me-down or was that a bought for him?
No, those were bought for him.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, great. Well, let's get right into the nuts and bolts of the Dallas Cowboys right now. We have Randy Gregory coming off of a 14-game suspension. We have some guys banged up on the defensive line. What do you got down there for our report going into Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions?
Well, I'm not hearing – I haven't heard whether or not our two guys have are going to, wait a minute, let me see. DeMarcus Lawrence and Cedric Thornton, I haven't heard if they're going to, if they played today, if they were limited to practice. You know, they were out last game. So I was kind of waiting for that to come in, and it didn't make it in time for the show. So I'm not sure about them. And, of course, they didn't practice yesterday because it's a Monday night game. So today would have been their first practice.
Right, right, right. Now I'm seeing that the Cowboys have until, like, 3 p.m. on Monday to add Randy Gregory to the 53-man roster in order to play against Detroit. He's now on the exempt list, so they haven't added him. But I did have a tweet in here saying that he looked awesome as a beast today and that he's chomping at the bit to get back on the field.
He should be fresh.
I would hope.
Yeah, I know he's been working out on his own. And I know he's really wanting to get back. So hopefully we'll have him. I'm not going to, you know, looking at it, I kind of looked at it more without him because it is his first game back, and I don't care how much he's put into it. You know, he's going to be a little bit rusty. He's been out almost the whole season.
Yeah, it takes a while to get game ready. You can't. There's nothing you can do to emulate what it's like to be in full contact and game ready conditions. Everything else is just falls short. So yeah, he may be a little rusty, but I think he still needs to. If they activate him, get him in there and get some reps in. So by the playoff time, right, he's ready to roll.
Hey, Colleen, do you think that, you know, we were just talking before you came on here, we're really hoping that the defensive line is able to get pressure on Stafford on their own. Do you see that, you know, like another performance out of Irving, like we saw last week, this week? Or
I think, yes. I think if Irving's in there, we're going to see him get to Stafford. And, you know, I just looked at the whole thing all the way around, and you know, they've got people out as well. So
yeah, it's that time of year where everyone's just a little banged up. Yeah. So yeah, we were just really hoping if we were able to just use our front four, you know, our four defensive linemen to get pressure on Stafford, that we would see a much improved defense this week. You know, considering our secondary has been you know, a little poor lately.
Right. And everybody's focusing on the fact that Stafford's finger still isn't healed 100%, but he didn't have any problem throwing last week.
Right. Yeah. They still won. So.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's kind of one of those things where we haven't even touched on that because it didn't look like it was too crazy of an effect on his game. That naturally he's not 100%, but, you know, the way he throws the ball, I'll take him at 80 or 90%. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I see our biggest challenge being if we can't get to him, we are most vulnerable down the middle.
Yes, completely agree.
And that's where I see our biggest challenge looking at everything. Now, as far as the Lions go, they are most vulnerable in the with their corner, their slot position. So Beasley should have a good game. You know, they have Azus Jackson matched up against him because Darius Slay is out and won't be back for this game. And Jackson is really weak on that side.
Well, that's good to know because I know Beasley's been quiet over the past month or so.
Exactly what I was going to say. We got to get more involved.
You know, obviously, Witten looks like he's getting his more than fair share of targets, right? You have Dez,
right,
who's been getting targeted. T. Will's even getting into it.
Yep.
And I would love to see a little bit more of Elliott out of the backfield and get him into an open position to where he can run as opposed to getting banged up between the tackles so much.
Well, and the times, right, they've done that with Elliott, he's taken it to big yardage, several to the house. But you're exactly right about Cole Beasley. I was thinking that exact thought. He's been a little quiet the last few weeks here, and it's definitely shown. It really, really has. He's not picking up those key first downs. He's not getting open. But if that's a weak area for the Lions, we need to expose it.
Well, it's really weak because Azus Jackson was just pulled from their practice squad 2 weeks ago. So, you know, he's a fresh rookie, and it showed that that's their weakest link there. And Dez will be matched up against Lawson.
Which, and I like our chances in that matchup.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say, which, again, is, you know, we come out stronger, you know, as far as that goes.
Well, I would love to see them go over the top to Dez and try to get him on more of some nine routes, the fly routes, the post routes, as opposed to, it seems like he's been doing a lot of the comeback routes, you know, or a quick slant. I want to see him do a double move and get over the top of him and see if we can't hit one for a long one.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of that depends on Nicole Beasley. And even you start bringing Zeke out of the backfield and dumping the ball off to him a little bit, it's going to bring up that safety. Right now the safety's over the top, and he's got to cover down the field. And
right.
It's not a good look. So we bring that guy in with some throws to Cole Beasley, and then, like you had mentioned, some throws to Elliott out of the backfield. It's going to do that. It's going to bring him in, and then we'll have our shot.
And as far as us, we have to, you know, Travis Frederick and Zach Martin have their work cut out for them against Ashad Robinson and Nagati.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they actually have all in all, I mean, Detroit has a very well-rounded team, and I didn't expect them to be much of anything based off of, you know, their game plan with Calvin Johnson in the lineup for the last several years. But they seem to be trending in the right direction, at least for this year. We'll see if the Cowboys, you know, knock that out of their mouth with a big win here and let Green Bay sneak into. And that's what we were kind of talking about a little bit there, Colleen, before you got on, is, you know, Green Bay starting to get hot at the right time too. You know, if you win here and beat Detroit, that opens up that game for you know, the whole plan for Green Bay to get in there and take over that NFC North. And I think they're a much better team than Detroit is. They scare me at least more.
Right.
Well, they're more battle-tested, right, especially in the playoffs. And I think that's where it comes in. Experience in the playoffs. Obviously, Detroit is extremely limited, where Green Bay, they know how to get it done. And that's scary. You're exactly right.
You think Carr is going to be able to cover Golden Tate?
You know,
no.
Well, Colleen, yeah, you're wonderful.
I just don't know, you know, why we can't get up and get our hands on a press.
I don't think he's capable of it. We've seen him try. I just don't physically. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. He just doesn't seem.
Can we just get Claiborne back?
Yeah, that would be exactly. That would help out a ton. Yes,
Colleen's finding solutions there.
Absolutely.
Now, that Carr just absolutely scares me. I think he's got so much potential, but something is holding him back. I don't know what it is, but I don't know that he's grown
well,
into
the
player we hoped he would be.
He does. He comes on really strong, then he gets called for a PI, and then he backs off.
Right.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have short-term memory, which is what it takes.
It's like he gets –
gotta forget about it and get on with the next play.
It's like he gets scared. Yeah, it's like he gets scared. And he'll play really good for a few games if he doesn't get called. But as soon as he gets called, he backs off and he just lets them catch it and then tries to catch them.
Right.
Yeah, and he's not physical at all. So he needs it. Well, I don't think that's not his game. So, but you're exactly right.
If I'm the offensive coordinator of Detroit, I know exactly who I'm targeting this week.
Yeah, without
especially
doubt.
With
well, hopefully he's not
out.
Listening to Colleen. She's giving away all the trade secrets there.
Perfect. Well, Colleen, any other news down there before we get to some scores?
No, I think we covered it.
All right, what do you got? Who you liking this week?
I'm gonna say 2017 Cowboys.
Oh, that's a nice one. I like that. Was
3-point game. Wow.
Right.
All right. All right.
I was gonna give us more. I was gonna give us more, but.
Well, that's okay. We trust you.
Exactly. Well, Colleen, we're going to let you get back to David because I know he's probably probably needing a little grandma love, right? Get a little hold on him.
Right.
Hold him. Did you do the Heisman pose? I did that with both of my kids. I got them. And I do it with every kid, as a matter of every newborn. So I get them in the Heisman pose. It's great.
And Steve's got poor hands. He fumbled my kid. Unbelievable.
Well, perfect. Colleen, we will. I'll be talking to you soon, but from Cowboy Nation out there, you've gotten your Christmas present early. So we're going to give you David early, and we're going to give you a Cowboy win late on Monday night. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, God bless you, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Same to you guys.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Colleen.
Bye, Colleen.
Merry Christmas.
Wow, awesome, awesome stuff. So, guys, you know, you just start thinking about, when you get into this late in the season, there's so many different variables to think about. Yep. And the old adage now even comes into more play. We got to take it one day at a time, one game, one series, and you got to handle your business. You can't start looking at what teams are going to get in, what if you do this, if you do that. We control our own destiny, okay? And we're sitting in the catbird seat. We are where everybody else wants to be.
Yep.
So go out there and handle your business, but prepare for tomorrow. Where are you? So, you know, on that note, what else you guys got?
Well, I think what you said there, Steve, it's so easy, especially this time of year, to look ahead, to overlook not only a team, but where you're going, what we've created. Well, right now is the prime time. You've got to focus on exactly what you said. One snap, one series at a time, and then you worry about the next one. You don't worry about what's going to happen the next quarter. Right now you take care of this business, and then you take care of the next business. Stay present mind focused. What happened in the past, that's gone. What's going to happen in the future is unknown. Focus on what's going on right here, right now, with this play call, which is going to lead into the next play call. And if you do that, we'll continue doing what we've doing. You're not going to get lost in the hype and the emotion and everything else, and that's going to breed success. And I think Garrett's got the capacity to do that with his team. One snap at a time, and we'll take it from there.
All right, Rich, give me your score.
I'm going to go a little higher score here. I think the boys are going to finish this week. Instead of kicking field goals, I'm going to say 38-28.
Perfect. Rodney, your last take.
Well, I was going to say not only, you know, it is one week at a time, one game at a time, but this is a playoff team that we might see this week and in a couple weeks from now. There's a very realistic possibility. So, you know, let's go ahead and let them know who we are. Exactly. Let's put the fear of God in them on Monday night. I was pretty close to what Colleen was thinking. I was thinking kind of a more of a low-scoring game, and she actually took my number, which is fine. So I'm going to go just a little bit different. I'm going to say 24-13. I think it will be a two-score game.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, my final take, folks, is simply this. You control your own destiny, Dallas. You want to be in this position, so now's your chance to go out there and step on somebody's neck. I want you to go out there and announce your presence with authority. You're the king of the hill. We got to get the ball underneath. We got to get the ball over top. We got to run between the tackles. All right?
Let's just do it all.
We got and our defense
fire
has to get pressure.
Baby.
We had a great game for turnovers last week where we took it to Tampa.
Always helps.
So I like the higher score, but I think because of our tendency to play a softer defense when we get that lead, that I like it going like 30. What am I going to go? I'm going to go 35-31, Dallas. All right.
That would be entertaining.
That would be entertaining on a Monday night game. So looking forward to that. Folks, last couple of things here. Once again, we're going to be doing Facebook Live on Monday night game. So the studio should be full again. So make sure you tune in. It simply is this. Turn on your TV, okay? Turn on, what is it, on ESPN networks, right, Monday night?
ESPN,
so get on your ESPN network, watch the game. You can then fire up your computer box and turn on to the Cowboys podcast page on Facebook and listen to a couple of fans in here just talk about the game. It's random thoughts that are coming up. I always like to talk about the left-handed punters or left-footed punters. but I won't be here this time. I will be in Dallas at the game, and I will be calling in to talk to the boys a little bit. So from Jono, who had to leave early, Steve-O, Big Rich, Big Rodney, shout out to Colleen and her new grandson, David, And also Maylene and Jeff Smith. Thanks, folks, so much for tuning in to the Cowboys Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are done, boys. Good luck on Monday.
Yep. We'll see you Monday night.
Go Cowboys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.